Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. And I pray this morning you'd speak a word to us, give us a word of encouragement. Let us see something into your word that would just transform us to be able to grasp hold of who you are and what you're doing, Lord. Let it be a time of really moving in our lives. And so I pray you anoint me, Lord, the Spirit, and I just speak things of the Spirit, and that, Lord, that each heart would be open by the Spirit. And so we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the Word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Philippians. So we look at the book of Philippians. Some interesting things here. You can turn to Philippians chapter 2. Be looking, starting off at verse 5. As I mentioned, you know, last week we were looking at some of the things in Philippians. One of the unique things about it, it's one of the only books that is addressed to the elders and the deacons and the congregation. Well, what that tells us is that, like we said here, just Paul, the Apostle Paul, went, he appointed elders and gave the responsibility to appoint other elders. And so we have a church here because he addressed it to elders and deacons. It was a mature church. It's already had that functioning in it. So he addressed them as the leadership of the church and the whole congregation. And so, and the reason I bring that up, when you look at these Philippians and what it says, and I think if I could just like summarize it, what's Philippians about? It tells you how to live the Christian life. And he's telling mature believers, this is what you need to grasp hold of. You've had a lot of stuff, but now as mature believers, this is how you should be walking. You know, so it's really the focus is on, and I would say not only, but it has in mind that this church has a lot of mature believers in it, and he's encouraging them. And I've always said, he's encouraging them from prison. So many people say Philippians is a book of joy. Okay, he wrote a book of joy from prison. And so it's the how the kingdom of God, love of God, overrides our physical circumstances when we have our mind focused on him. So we're going to look at this verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says this, "Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus." Now, the translation I use there, you probably don't recognize that, Young's literal translation, but what it is, that is the literal word. Now, words, as you look in your Bible and some translate, and they're good, I mean, NIV, ESV, New American Standard, you know what, they're fine. But what they do, sometimes they'll add a word here to help bring out the meaning, which is good sometimes. But I think in this case, it's better. This is just what's said. There's no addition to what's being said here, okay? This is every word's in the Greek, okay? And this is how it comes out. And it says, let this mind, or it could be attitude, but let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So, you know, is an encouragement, say, have an attitude like Jesus. You know, that'd be a good thing you tell your children. Anyway, I don't know how that'd work. It doesn't work good with us, so I don't know. But Amy, basically that's what, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So we're getting some insight here in this word for word translation, again, about what Christ's mind is. This is how Christ thinks. And therefore, he's telling us, this is how I want you to think. You should have the same mind. Okay? Now, we have learned from the Bible that our Christian life is not about following rules, but it's about a relationship with Jesus. Amen? Yeah. And so, here we see that this relationship is not a superficial relationship, but it is so all-encompassing that we should have the very mind of Christ in all things. I said, hey, relationship with Jesus, he loves me, you know. And he's going, yes, but it's like, no, the relationship's so deep that you understand his mind and that you can take on his mind and, in fact, your behavior to do what he does. You go, that's a little deeper relationship than I was thinking. You know, it's like, hey, I have a relationship. You know, we'll go out and have dinner. Nah, it's a little deeper than that. You know, I mean, it's so anyway, you kind of get the point. So this means what this verse is saying. This means that our behavior should be consistent with Jesus's behavior. You know, okay. I'm a Christian. Oh, so you act like Jesus. Well, no, that's not what I said. I mean, I just believe. Well, no, the definition is you act like him. I mean, now see this is a to a mature church, okay? I mean, it is. It's the, hey, elders and deacons. You got elders and deacons. Everybody's happy, you know. But so you see that the depth of what's saying there, what he's telling the people about the depth of each of our individual relationships. Amen? So this is where we're going. Now, what I want to read here is that this was Philippians 2:5. I want to read the two previous verses that lead up to this, okay? That gives us an idea of what he's talking about. So let's look at Philippians 2:3. This is Jesus' mind. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Lord, I mean, I have a hard time doing that with Linda. I mean, it's like some rank stranger. I mean, what do you mean? It's like, really? Really? Are you all with me? Really? I mean, that's what it says, you know. Somebody go, now you just made that up. No, that's what it says. And so you look at it and you think, oh my goodness, like Jesus, again, it's like Jesus. Like Jesus, we are to consider others more significant than ourselves, selflessly, big word, you can write that one out, selflessly, easy to spell, but you know, it's a selflessly, Jesus went to the cross for us so that we would be able to spend eternity with him. There's a verse in Romans says, he died for us while we were still sinners. That's just selflessly going to the cross for sinners. Selfless. I mean, what'd he get out of this? You know, we get out of it. We go to heaven. And so you see that he has this picture of selflessness. All right. Okay, therefore, it leads us to the next verse, okay, Philippians 2:4. Let each of you not look to his own interest, but to the interest of others. I don't know about you, this is killing me. I mean, it's okay, I'll do this to the church. You know, and I'm thinking, and she would never think this, but I think she could think that. Linda would go, won't you try it at home first, and then we can go to the church. You know, because that's where it's tough, isn't it? At home. It's tough at home. You just obey, woman, and I'll be selfless to the church. I've tried that. You know, it doesn't work, by the way. Guys, don't ever try that. I mean, it just causes all sorts of problems. All sorts of problems. Now, so, I don't know. Sometimes the Lord brings things to mind. And I don't know if I should say them, probably because it's not the Lord bringing them to mind. But, you know, when Linda and I were separated, you know, when we were separated, I prayed every night. And my prayer was, God, change that woman. You know, he never answered it. Never. I mean, to this day, he never answered that. You know, and it's like, so he had to teach me something about me, you know, it's like that. And so my prayer had to change quite a bit. So anyway, you look on the interest of others. You know, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Now, here's something. You should write this down. I can't quote you a verse, but I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord. There should be a verse. You know, I know it's in there. I just haven't found it. Thus saith the Lord. Write this down. The bottom line to sin, you ready? Come on. The bottom line to sin, self. That's a bottom line. Well, it's this. My mama didn't diaper train me properly. That's the reason for my sin. Now, buddy, just leave your poor mom alone, you know? The bottom line is that sin is self. It's you, all about you, see? And therefore, that leads to sin, because it's about you. And what Jesus was sinless. Now, being God helped, okay? Jesus was sinless because it wasn't about him. Right? It's about us. He's sinless. Sinless. Now, so the only way to deal with sin, now remember, this is a mature church. You know, it's not what he hit them right coming out of the gates. But he's like, y'all trucking along pretty good. The bottom line of sin is self. And the only way to deal with sin is to deal with self. You know, it's funny as I look, and I'm just making an observation about myself, and nobody's standing up and going, yeah, praise Jesus. You go, oh, shoot. This ain't no fun. You know? But I know. So if you want to deal with sin, you have to deal with self. And then we'll go on. Our separation from Christ's power, okay, now I'm going to say Christ's power, not salvation. Jesus, I'm a sinner. You know what God says when we say that? Jesus, I'm a sinner. He goes, yep. Maybe he's, but that's what he goes, yeah, I know. And what I'm happy about it is you recognize it. Now you're forgiven. Praise Jesus. Okay, that's the message. But to live out, so we're in. Amen. We trust in Jesus. We're in. Hallelujah. But in living this life, we don't experience the fullness of God's power because of sin. Or let's put it differently. We don't experience God's power because of self. You hurt my feelings. What's that? Self. Self. See? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. So you look at this, and so then we understand we're in the kingdom. Hallelujah. We're in the kingdom. Because we believe on the Lord Jesus, we are forgiven. He declares us his right as God. Okay? Because Jesus selflessly went to the cross. That's why. Now, but living this life and the power of God working through us, the power of God working through us, is dependent upon how we walk with God, what we know about God, and how we humble ourselves. You know, you see, that it's dependent. Our walk with God, our power of God, is dependent on our behavior. And so, and he grows. He says, grow in faith. Grow in grace. You know, why? Because you're not there. You need to grow. Grow, be filled with the Spirit. You know, and so you learn how to grow. And then it says, in Hebrews, I was just reading this morning, he disciplines us. And he says, it doesn't feel good, but in the long run, you'll be better off for it. That's what he calls about self-discipline. Any good father, how do you take your kids in the room? This is going to hurt you more than it does me. This is for your good. How many of them agree with you? Then, no, it's not. No, it's for their good. Because in the long term, it impacts their behavior. That's what God does with us. That's what it says in Hebrews. Now, so we see this, that our separation from Christ's power is due to sin. Or this, what's the other word? Separation from God's power is due to self. God can't get through. I ain't doing that. You know, I said, humble yourself. Think on others more than yourself. I'm going, See, myself, I'm not doing that. But you don't know what they did to me. Who's that concerned with? Self. Me. See? And so what that does, it just puts a stop sign. Well, look what they did to me. Give me power and I'll show them. You know, God goes, I don't think so. Nah, maybe not today. Yeah, but you see what I'm saying. So the whole thought here, our separation from Christ's power is due to self. Now we can say sin, and we can put sin out there and, you know, kind of theorize about it. But we put self and like, oh gosh, we're stuck with this. He's talking about me. See? So, separation from Christ's power is due to self. So, let's go. And what we're going to do here. So, what does God tell us to do so we can recognize the power of Christ? Just in this verse. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. There you go. I won't receive the power of God. Well, that's easy. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Now, in the following verses, we are told what this selfless mind of Christ looks like. God tells us what the selfless... Aren't we glad? Now, he's telling us what the selfless mind of Christ looks like. Why? So we will take it on. So we will understand it so we can walk like Christ did. Are you all with me? Because we'll read this. This is how Christ behaved. But why is he telling us how Christ behaved? Because it's the mind of Christ, and what did he tell us to do? Take the mind of Christ. So this is why he's telling us. Oh, that's good for Jesus. Hallelujah, I love my Savior. He goes, well, yeah, but this is supposed to be your mind also. Everybody with me? Because this is important. This is where the whole message is going. So let's look at the next verse. Verses 6 and 7. Chapter 2, 6 and 7. Though Jesus was the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Holy moly. Look at the overhand. I underlined that. But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of sinful men. Now, this is really important with the virgin birth. Oh, sweet little, why the virgin birth? Because he had to be born in the likeness of sinful man. That little baby was the likeness of sinful man. See? There. And so, I mean, that's like power. So he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. Jesus took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of sinful man. This is his mind. This is who he was. See, we in our meager human existence have a hard time humbling ourselves. Well, I'm not doing it. Don't you say it? No. Mm-mm. You do it. I'm not doing it. You know? How dare you say that to me? Or whatever. You know, I mean, just go on and on and on. However, Jesus, now I want you all to follow me at this. This is really powerful. However, Jesus, who was the form of God, being the very nature God, that's pre-incarnation, before the virgin birth, he was the very nature God. In the beginning, God created. And it says Jesus created. He was with God in the beginning. See? And so it's saying here that being the very nature God, he did not hang on to that position. Are you with me? He didn't hang on the position as God. But he emptied himself. That's a lot of emptying. I mean, that's like, you know, unbelievable emptying. You know, he's God. Oh, I'll just empty myself. You're kidding me. But that's what he did. He was God, and he emptied himself and became a servant. To who? Us. Well, I ain't serving so-and-so. What Jesus did. That's not fair. You know? Okay, so here you have the thought. He emptied himself and became a servant. Jesus Christ became part of humanity. Part of humanity. Being made in human likeness. Okay? With this, now I'm going to say, now this next verse, you already, you got to be prepared for this next verse. This is a truth, and you don't hear it preached a lot, but this is the truth. He became a being in human likeness. Now, God came to be a human. Jesus is God, came to be a human. Okay? Now, God cannot cease to be God. Okay? I'm a human. I quit being God. No, you can't do that. So Jesus never quit being God. All right? But Jesus made the decision not to use his divinity. Write that down. Meditate on that. But Jesus made the decision not to use his divinity. He's still God, but I'm not going to use my power. I am God, but no, I'm like a man. I'm not going to use my divinity. Okay? And what he was going to do is live as a man. I'm not going to use my divinity. I'm going to live as a man. I'm God. But I'm not going to use my divinity. I'm going to live like a man. A perfect man. The way man was created to be. I'm going to show you what he looks like. I'm going to show you. You know, some people say, Jesus told us what God looked like. No, you can read the Old Testament. You know what God looks like. Holy Jesus, you know. You know what? No, what Jesus did in the New Testament, he showed us what man was supposed to look like. See? That's all tied up in redemption. So, Jesus made the decision not to use his divinity, but to live as man. Jesus lived. Now listen to this. I hope y'all are following this. Jesus lived as a perfect man, always under the direction of the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus lived. Always under the Father's direction and the Holy Spirit's direction. Always. But he was God. Yeah, but he chose not to use his divinity. Therefore, he did what God told him to, what the Holy Spirit told him to, and he did it with power because they told him to. Now, he did it perfectly because he was God. Okay, but he chose not to use his individual divinity. But he was always under the direction of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to this. Jesus did only what the Father told him to. Jesus healed all these people. Praise Jesus. He goes, no, that's the Father told me to heal them, and that's the reason I healed them. You'll be like Jesus and heal all these people. I'm going to heal these people. No, did the Father tell you? Because Jesus waited to hear the word from the Father. The Father told him to do, and then he healed them. See the difference? He's operating as a perfect man. He hears from the Father and the Holy Spirit and does what they say. That's what man is supposed to do. Now look, at John 5:19. This is a good one to jot down. There's a few others, but John 5:19. Jesus said to the disciples, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. Get out of here. Get out of here. Jesus, come here and levitate that chair. I can't do anything of my own accord. What are you talking about? You're Jesus. I know. I only do what the Father tells me, not what you tell me. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing. You know, that's what the Father says. His ministry didn't start until the Holy Spirit fell on him. Why Jesus need the Holy Spirit? I mean, he wouldn't have to be full of the Holy Spirit, just be full of himself. That's kind of what we do. We're just full of ourselves. You know, he could just been full of himself and done it in a good way. But he said, no, I can't. No. I've emptied myself, and now I have the Holy Spirit. Third part of the Trinity enters into me, and now that Holy Spirit takes over that divinity, and that Holy Spirit tells me what to do. He's the perfect man listening to the Holy Spirit, and he's telling us, as men and women, this is how you are the perfect man or woman. What's the Holy Spirit telling you? And then you act like Jesus. You have a mind like Jesus. Y'all with me? I mean, this is like Golly, you know, this is amazing. Okay, well, we'll just look also at this one just to prove my point. We'll stay in John. John 15:5. So Jesus says, I can do nothing of my own accord. Can't, you know, unless the Father tells me, Holy Spirit tells me. And so he says, okay, I got a word for you guys. John 15:5. I am the vine. Jesus is saying this. I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do how much? Nothing. You know, and you go, wait a minute. What? Because apart from him, we can do nothing. As Jesus received the Holy Spirit, Jesus died for it, and we can say we received Jesus, but the Bible specifically says we received the Holy Spirit. Jesus received the Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit. He can do nothing of his own accord, and we can do nothing without him. Same people. So Jesus, the way Jesus behaves is the way we're supposed to behave. You know, I'll go back to that verse. It's like, do nothing else. Selfish ambition, but in humility, count your others more than yourself. Lord Jesus, Holy, fill me. I don't have it in me because I'm kind of stuck on me. You know, I mean, fill me. And then he gives you the power to behave the way he wants you to behave because your eyes are upon him, not on yourself. Amen? Now, so, I mean, is this something else or what? And the point of it is he's talking to us and our mind. This is Jesus' mind. So I'll just let you in. This is how your mind is supposed to work. It's kind of fascinating. So, as we look at this, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so Jesus did nothing of his own accord. Thus, we should do nothing of our own accord. I mean, we're talking about an all-encompassing relationship, a walking with, an understanding with, a feeling with, that he's going to show us stuff, and we're just, okay, because you said so. But that's going to take unbelievable relationship, unbelievable relationship. Now, to show the depths of this relationship, Jesus did what the Father told him, all right? Heal this person, you know, all the fish came in the net and do, I mean, God told him to do all that, you know. But he said, but here's the ultimate. Jesus did what the Father told him and was obedient unto death. How many of you thought, well, that's too much? Jesus, well, no, I have my mind. I was obedient unto death. Listen to this. Next verse in explaining the mind of Christ. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. Ooh, you know, I humbled myself. I will think more of other people. Okay, I'll work on it. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. See, this, it's kind of a, God said, I want you buy-in. I want the total buy-in. I don't want a 50% buy-in. I want the total buy-in. That means just a mind like Jesus. He went to the cross. You buy in, you'll go to the cross if I ask you. It's like, could we strike that last clause on that contract? I liked it up to this point, but Lord, but then it's a buy-in. It's a total buy-in on this. Now, I've told you this before, and I actually read it. It's an actual quote, but the early church, and of course, the early church didn't have big buildings. They didn't have stuff. I mean, they were just like, just trucking along, you know, until 300 A.D. I mean, they were just meeting in little spots around like this, but they were really seeing the power of God, and they were really a consternation to the Roman Empire. Everybody, they couldn't figure these people out. What's their purpose, you know? There's a letter of a governor, a Roman governor, and they're killing these Christians right and left. And he wrote a letter. He says, these Christians really die well. They couldn't figure it out. Why do they die well? Persecuted, obedient to the cross. Okay. We're on the way to heaven. This is just the road into heaven. But they bought in. See, they bought in. And the observers say, why they die well? I think, well, Lord, I would rather have a different calling. I would like to, I don't know, you know, build houses well. I mean, that would be, but you see what he's saying here. But that's the point. Now, what is he telling us? That's Christ's mind. It's a buy-in, you know. I've said this before, too. It's just humorous. Our son, the four spiritual laws, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, he knew this verse. He knew this verse. You'd be obedient unto death, even death of the cross. He says, God has a wonderful plan for your life. He goes, you better read the fine print. You better read the fine print. It's not what you think it is. See, and he thinks it's an absolute sin to hand these tracts out. He said, you're selling something that doesn't have the complete truth. You know, they're, oh, hallelujah, healthy, wealthy, and wise. He said, no, maybe not. And probably not. So, anyway, all y'all have your own children to deal with, and he's an adult, and he has his own children to deal with. He came to me the other day and asked for forgiveness for some of the things he did. So what goes around comes around. You know, he's got teenagers. God bless the Lord. Anyway, so Jesus, what we have here, Jesus was so committed to the Father's plan that he obeyed it as far as death, even to the disgraceful death by crucifixion. This is the mind of Christ. Now, okay, you come to this point, and probably everybody's like, okay, just like, you know, hallelujah, you know, rejoice in him. Now, this is showing, he said, have the mind of Christ. This is the mind of Christ. And because Christ emptied himself, now that word, but that's a literal word, emptied himself, like ain't nothing left. Christ emptied himself. Because Christ emptied himself and became obedient unto death, God exalted him. Now I'm just drive home a point. When did God exalt him? He's on the earth, living in this earth. When did he exalt him? When he emptied himself. Became obedient to the cross. Then God exalted him. Oh, Jesus, exalt me. Not right now, but, you know, when you understand it's like, and I say that just to drive home the point, but the whole thing is you go before the Lord and you obedient, you humble say, I'm obedient unto death, and say, okay, I'll exalt you. Why is he exalting us? Because we bought in. Because we bought in to him 100%. We're holding nothing back. Holding nothing back. Now, this says it in verse Philippians 2:9. Now, I just put the first part of that. So we have all this stuff, all this information. Obedient unto death, emptying himself. All right? All that. The next verse, verse 9. Therefore, remember I told you about prepositions and all that in the Greek? Because they had no punctuation, so these words are really big deal. Therefore, so what does therefore mean? Therefore, because of what I just told you in the first eight verses, therefore, God has highly exalted him over all things. That's what he's going to do to Jesus. And we're going to praise Jesus, hallelujah. But who's the message to? Us. I will exalt you over all things. After verses 1 through 8, I just want exalted. You know, like that. You know, Linda, I said, just exalt me. She says, you got work to do. Okay. But no, you, verses 1 through 8, and then God, therefore I exalted him. Therefore I will exalt you because you bought in. Amen? I mean, this is incredible. Therefore, through our humility, God will highly exalt us. When we have the mind of Christ, God moves to highly exalt us and move powerfully on our behalf. Move powerfully on our behalf. Why? Because we bought in. We bought into the whole thing. We bought in. Now, so he moved powerfully on our behalf. Now, this is not living in immediate gratification, but is living by faith with an eternal view in the larger work of God. What are you doing, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? Now, so listen to this. Therefore, based on all this, try to put this together, me trying to put it together. Therefore, counting others more significant than ourselves, looking to others, looking to the interest of others, emptying ourselves, humbling ourselves, being obedient to what God says, God Himself will move on our behalf. You buy in and I'll move on your behalf. For sure. And there's a whole eternity in view. These are the people I want. Now again, this is to a mature church. Yeah. Now, because of Christ's perfect humility, amen? Now how can he have perfect humility? He was God. Okay, he just chose not to use his divinity. But he was God, so he could do the perfect humility thing well. And because of his obedience while in human form, so he humbled himself, had humility and obedience in human form. That's the key, in human form. Like us, he showed us how man and woman should act. It's human form. This is how you act, listening to God, in human form. Therefore, because Christ did this in perfect humility and obedience, God put him over all things. Over everything. Now remember, he's God. He comes as a man. He said, I will not use my divinity. And now, by his will, he's a servant. And he lives as a perfect man. And he does it perfectly. And because he did it perfectly, even obedient to this, now God said, I'm going to give you everything. Everything is yours because he did it perfectly. So the message is this: there's important that he's going to give us based on our obedience, like he gave Christ everything based on his obedience because it was perfect. Let me read this whole section. I don't have an overhead up here, but here's the whole section of Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him, Jesus, the name that is above every name. Amen? That's how he got it. With the mind of Christ. That's how he got it. Bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. Every man, woman, will bow the knee. Every lost, evil sinner is going to bow the knee. All believers are going to bow the knee because he was perfect in obedience and humility unto death and died for us. Died for us. God's given him everything. Every knee should bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. You know, that's lots of folks. I mean, that pretty much covers it. Heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue, every language, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He did it. You want to see the perfect man God intended? It's Jesus. That's what it looks like. Oh, God, help me, a sinner. You know, okay, you're forgiven. But this is how I want you to look to move forward and to grow in your faith and grace, to behave like I want you to behave, which is how Christ behaved. That's the reason you say, well, I accept Christ and you never change. That's impossible. That is impossible. It's impossible. It can't happen. Oh, I accepted Christ and I still do this. Wonder, you ain't accepted nothing. Oh, hey, maybe you shouldn't tell them. But they haven't. They haven't. How could the God of the universe that spoke the word, decreed all things, come and live within us, and then we just do what we want to do? And I'm going to really get touchy. I'm a homosexual, and I accept Christ, and I'm going to continue in this sinful lifestyle. If you accept Christ, you're going to change to behave like Christ because he's in you. Can't help it. You can't help pit. You don't argue about that. You introduce people to Christ. It can't help it. The reception of Christ leads you to behave like. You see what I'm saying? And I mean, you just pick one. I mean, just going forever and ever. But, so we see this. And so you see what God puts this capsule. Is that what he is asking for is a lot. Is a lot. He's asking for everything. He says, but you're going to get a lot back. I'm telling you. Here's so you know what's going to happen. Now here we have here, Christ humiliation and subsequent exaltation was intended to encourage us to have an attitude of Christ-like humility. Why would I think of other people better than myself? Because that's what Christ did, and God will exalt us for doing that. Now, we need help from the Holy Spirit. How did Christ do that? Through the Holy Spirit. That's how he did it. I mean, that helps us understand. He can do nothing. He can't humble himself before people without the Holy Spirit, without the Father telling him. So, I mean, that point, because he chose not to use his divinity. He chose to use the Holy Spirit's divinity, which is a picture to us, all right? And it says, be filled with the Spirit. I mean, it's going and on. Okay, now, if we are to be identified as Christ's followers, we should demonstrate his characteristics by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God will exalt us. Through Christ's death and resurrection, as we empty ourselves, we receive power from the promised Holy Spirit. But now you see how all this is tied together. See how it's tied together? And we have that picture as Jesus. And it's selflessness. Empty ourselves. But now this is personal. You know, don't go, you're not emptying yourself. I know. You know, you just prove that you haven't emptied yourself. I mean, that's all that proves, okay? It's a total individual receiving and understanding and walking in the faith. As soon as you point the finger at somebody, ten of them point back at you, plus a lot of other people in the congregation and everything. I mean, you can't. God says, that's not how I work. No, don't you understand that? See? And it works to think like Christ. But you have the power of have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. You know, I think it'd be, oh, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray over this guy, and we're going to raise the dead and see a great miracle. I think, you know, that'd be good. But it'd be a bigger miracle for me if I just prayed that let me think of others more than myself. That'd be the biggest miracle. Raising the dead is nothing. Us submitting to Christ is what's hard. Us living and alive is what's hard. To say, okay, I'll think of others greater than myself. I think it's easier trying to raise the dead than trying to have that in my life. See, now that's just me talking. Now you may have a different scenario. But I'm going to flip over to here that kind of summarizes this at Jesus' resurrection, death and resurrection. I'm going to look at Galatians 3, 13 through 14. And then I'm just trying to sum all this together. 3, 13 through 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Now, what did the law say? The law is really good. The law said, the law points the fingers. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. That's what the law does. I mean, and the Bible says, the law shows no one righteous. So the law does its work, you know? And who wants to live under that? I mean, it's doing its work. So the law says we're a sinner, puts a curse on us. But then it says Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse. No curse on me. All falls on me. Amen? All people's got to say, amen. But look what it says next. Fascinating what it says next. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So that preposition, and that's there in the Greek. So that's a big so that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. You know what he's saying? And no way you can do this. Then no, you cannot do that. My son was right. You should have read the fine print. You can't do it. Ain't happening. But But when you believe on Him, we can receive the promised Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit by promise through faith. And now we can, but not by ourselves. We have to hear and operate as God leads us. And again, I'm just making a point, and you know, just kind of go along with me. I'm going to say it anyway. You go to 100 churches next 100 Sundays, and they're not going to tell you that. I don't care what church it is. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you that. Maybe one. You know. If you find it, I'd apply for memberships. Join your group. You're not going to hear it. And again, that's just coming from experience. I mean, I'm not saying that they may not know it or whatever, or, you know, but that's like some rough preaching, you know. It's like you say, man, I wish I'd slept in this morning. Like, who in the world would do that, you know? And the answer is nobody. You know, oh, let's join the Lord in prayer. Okay, here's what we do. Nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. I tell another story. I look at my sweet wife. When we were separated, we got back together. We'd been back together about 3 months, you know. And I just thought, you know, we'd get back together, and then we'd just be happy. You know, God changed that woman. You know, it didn't quite work out that way. We're together, but there's icicles hanging off the ceiling. I mean, that's just, oh, my gosh. And so we had this seminar come up, and I thought, and it was like in 6 months. I thought, well, she'll have her act together in 6 months. So I just signed her up for it. You know, me and her signed her up for it. So I sent them out. So they would get a package of stuff, notebooks, you know, about 2 weeks before it goes. She goes, what's this? I thought, oh, crud. Your sin will find you out. So I told her. She said, I hope you have going by yourself. You and your friends enjoy this. You know, I said, oh, gosh, this is not good. Anyway, but anyway, Lord, finally agree to go. And I don't know, that's one of the most miserable conferences I've ever been to in my life. I mean, it just, oh gosh. I mean, I just can't tell you how bad it was. And so we're coming home, and it's a week long. It's not like a week. I mean, it's a week long. And so he's upset at the end of every conference to come in. And so we're coming back. I think it was a third one. And this guy was, he was into stuff. I mean, he had 5 points for everything. Yeah. And so she's in the car, and she says, who can do all that? Who? Now, she's not a believer. She's not even a believer, you know. That's it. She said, who can do that? Who could possibly do that? And so I'm trying to be Mr. Encouragement, you know. And so I said, well, you know, it's okay. No one can do that. She says, that's just like you to take me to a conference where nobody can do that. Oh, gosh. And she's furious at me for setting her up, you know, but no, do that. That's great. Love it. Thanks a lot. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating her tone. It was like that. So anyway. But see what it is. You just have the rules with no power. You go, nobody can do that. If it's a good message, you'll come. You can't do that. You can't do it. So it was a good message. I wish they'd kind of fed a little Holy Spirit in that. I mean, if she had been saved, that would have helped also. But anyway, by Friday, he did a gospel talk and she accepted Christ. That Friday, same conference, you know. It was just painful getting there, but she accepted Christ. But bless her sweet heart. And it's like, you go, she didn't tell me for a year that she stepped to Christ. Nothing. She didn't tell me. Like that. I'm just still getting it, both barrels, you know. Well, I didn't know. She didn't step to Christ. And then say they had an altar call, just rest in Bible church, when we come down. And I think I might nudge her. She says, don't you touch me. I mean, look up there. You ever been in church and nudge her? She said, don't you touch me. Anyway, So we said, got there. I said, well, they gave the God. She said, I accepted Christ a year ago. Really? Yes. You know, well, stop. I won't hear any more out of you. Okay. So we got through it. See what I'm saying? But you preach the law, the Bible, the point. You can't do it unless you have the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus says, now here's what Jesus said in this context. Jesus said, I can't do it. Can't do it. I do nothing of my own accord. Jesus said, I do nothing of my own accord. And we try to get people to do it of their own accord. You can't do it. You can't do it. And he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you know. You can do nothing without me. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And religion is full of people who put on the front of doing stuff without him, and you have religion, and it is absolutely overbearing. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, there's joy, love, peace. Amen? But this here, what I just said, what we read, tells you how to get there. You have to have the mind of Christ. That's how you have to get there. You can't get there another way. You have to have the mind of Christ. You don't need rules. You need the mind of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And with the mind of Christ, it's the Lord says, now I'm going to teach you some really good stuff. Really good stuff. I was watching, just fun, I was watching the preliminary to the Alabama football game, Alabama, Tennessee. So they had Nick Saban. And he says, what do you do to get these kids to do what they do? He says, you find the best kids, and he says, and then you tell them that they're going to do more than they ever thought they had the capacity. And if they're not ready for that, they need to leave now. So I'm going to ask you to do stuff you never dreamed you could do. Jesus goes, welcome. Welcome. Now I'm going to ask you to do things you never dreamed you could do. And you're going to have the Holy Spirit, but you never dreamed. If you buying this 100%, and Nick Saban said, he took it from me, I didn't take it from him. You got to buy in 100%. And you'll be the greatest ones that walk out on that. You'll be the great. Jesus said, you're going to be the greatest ones. He goes, but you got to buy in. You got to buy in the whole thing. Buy in the whole thing. And it's only through the Holy Spirit. That's a physical example of a spiritual truth. And he says, I'll discipline you to make you great. I'll discipline you. Any of you ever been before the Lord said, God, why? This is more than I can bear. Yet you can bear it. Come on. You can bear it. You take that step. I give you more than you ever thought. You can bear it. You can bear it. That's discipline. But we're thinking he's being mean. No, it's discipline. And the Bible says, you know what he says in Hebrews? This is what he says. I do this because I love you. That's what he says. He says, I do this because I love you. Now, here's the mind of Christ. And God says, you step into that, we'll get there. But you're going to think, oh, hell broke loose. See? I mean, that's it. It's all there. It's all there. And he said, but I'm there. Come on. And I'm the teacher. The power of the Holy Spirit. You persevere. You keep moving forward. And he'll do more than you ever dreamed you could do. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Christ humbled himself so that we might receive forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness is good. But you need the Holy Spirit to have power. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. Just thank you for these verses. Oh, my goodness. I just pray everyone would just read through these again. And, Lord, this is what you're asking. You're not asking for mediocrity. You're not asking, you know, just to get by. He said, no, you're asking for people to sell out to you. Sell out to you. And so, Lord, I just pray as we all come before you now, just look to you and say, yes, Jesus. Certainly, we believe on you. Our sins are forgiven. But yes, Lord, we want you. We want you. We want your mind. We want your direction. We want to think like you think. We want your power. We submit everything to you. We empty ourselves, God, to receive the fullness of you. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.